And I'll share with you something that as the years went by, I realized, and it should burden all of our hearts. We'll start off this morning by asking this question. How many of you would say this is true of you, that you grew up in a Christian home, or you grew up in church, or you went to church, or you went to a Christian school, or you came from a Christian family, and then you got saved kind of through that? Eventually you trusted Christ, you're saved. How many here, by raising your hand, would say that was true of you? Amen? Okay. This might be a different response than normal on this next one. How many of you would say this is true of you? You were saved out of the world. Okay, pretty good bit here. I'll tell you what I could probably come to find in most of our churches is that that is not the case. That's a pretty good split here this morning. And by the way, that's a testimony to the outreach of Bible Baptist Church as well. Because we're actually supposed to go out into the world and reach people with the gospel. And that's what we'll look at here. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 there. Of course, it's a account of the Great Commission that the Lord would give His disciples before He would ascend back into heaven. But in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You probably heard that verse several times throughout the weeks, but that is the commission that the Lord Jesus gave His disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We see it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where He would say that after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I know that your pastor is a Bible preacher, and so I know that he's told you that we could take that to say that that also means that we're supposed to be doing the work in Baysville, Ohio, and across the world at the same time. Because that word both means all at the same time, and so all of those areas we're supposed to be reached at the same time. And we actually see through the book of Acts that the disciples started off really well. They turned the world upside down there in Jerusalem up until Acts chapter 8. But they didn't make it to Samaria, and they didn't make it beyond that. And the Lord allowed persecution in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, to come upon the church, and they were scattered to Samaria, to Judea, Samaria, and beyond. And it says they went everywhere teaching the word. And so, just to give you that, but I want us to see that's our responsibility this morning. It's the responsibility of every Christian, and it is the responsibility of every church to be sharing the gospel with the world around us. And we're actually supposed to take it to them, not wait for them to come through the doors of the church to be under the preaching of the gospel. Although that happens, and praise God for that. We want that too. That's good, but the command is actually to go. And so, Brother Dustin, if you have that picture, would you put that up there for me? Look at that guy. He's a good-looking guy right there. Anybody know who that is? That was me. That was 8 years ago and 98 pounds ago. And I'm not going to tell you where it was taken, but you can probably figure it out, right? And so that was me. And I grew up. I had never been to church, had never read the Bible, had never heard the gospel. Nobody had ever knocked on our door. No bus ministry ever came to our house, invited us to vacation Bible school or to Sunday school. Nobody. And had just never heard the message of Jesus Christ until I was 21. And 21 might not seem like that long of a time. It's not. I mean, really, 21 years for many of you, especially if you're older, you say 21 years is nothing, right? But in 21 years in our nation here, at 21 years old, you can register to vote. You can enlist in the Army. You can be drafted in the Army if there was a draft. Legally, as 21-year-old, you can go out and buy a handgun, a shotgun. You can buy a rifle. I mean, you can go get an AR and an AK at 21 years old. I'm thankful for that, by the way. Just saying, at 21 years old, you have lived enough life to be able to make those decisions. At least that's what we would say in our nation. I mean, you can drive a motor vehicle and be responsible for your life and the lives of others around you, right, at 21 years old. So by the time I was 21, I was already an adult. I mean, I had lived a lot of, I put it this way, I had seen more life by the time I was 21, I would say, that most people have seen their whole life. I had seen a lot, all aspects of life. And I'll share with you, this is where we get into the Bible message of it. And I'll give you some thoughts, and these are common thoughts. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. They're all going to be out of context. I'm just going to tell you just straight up. And that's okay, because these are verses that are principles that stand alone by themselves. That if you are just a, if you are a Christian that you just go to church, you will learn these. These are basic things. And if you've been in church a long time, you know all of these. And I'm going to make one point to you throughout all of it, okay? The first thing I want us to see, what the Bible says about a lost person or about being lost. What does the Bible say about a lost person, somebody without Christ? Hebrews 10:27, I'll just give you these verses. Hebrews 10:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Everybody's going to die, and everybody's going to stand before God one day. How many of you believe that? That's true. Everybody is going to die. Everybody is going to stand before God one day. Romans 3:23, we know this one. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everybody is a sinner. Everybody has sinned against God. God has things that He says not to do and things that He says to do, and we have all done the things that He said not to do and have failed to do at times the things that He said to do. That makes us sinners. We have sinned against God. How many agree we're all sinners? Everybody on the earth. Romans 3:10 to 12. These are a little bit more powerful verses about that. But it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And a simple way to explain the principle from those verses is that nobody's righteous before God, and in of themselves. In fact, it actually says nobody even seeks after God. And you may feel like when you got saved that you were seeking God. I've come to find, as I've studied Scripture and looked back at my life, and now in my life I realize I wasn't seeking God. God was seeking me, and I was responding to that. And as long as I responded to that, He kept giving me more until I got the gospel. I wasn't really seeking Him. He was drawing me, and I was responding to that until we got to the gospel and make the decision of our own free will, by the way, to either choose Christ or not. But nobody is righteous in and of themselves. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And we know that that means not only physical death, but spiritual death, ultimately death in hell. Ephesians 2:1. This is what He says about somebody who's saved, but Ephesians 2:1 says, "In you hath He quickened," but it says, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so that's what the Bible says about somebody who was lost before they're saved. They're dead in trespasses and sins. That's what I was for 21 years of my life. Dead in trespasses and sins. Lost. And I had never really thought about righteousness. I had never really thought about whether I was doing good or not doing good. I had never really thought about the different things we were doing at that time, and I won't go into detail because it really doesn't matter, but I'm going to tell you, we did bad things in gang life. Gang life is bad. And I never really thought that this is bad. I never really took the time to consider that. I mean, if you would have asked me, I would have said it's not good, but it never processed up here. I never looked at my life and said, "Wow, this is bad. I'm ruining my life." I didn't think that. That was just the life I was living. I mean, that was just life to me. And you know what's crazy is that how many of you knew almost all those verses we just read and all of those principles? We're all going to die. We're all going to stand before God. Everybody is a sinner. Nobody's righteous of themselves. The wages of sin is death. They're dead in trespasses and sins. How many of you knew those things? And you know what's crazy is that for 21 years, nobody told me about Jesus. Nobody. And yet we all know those verses and those principles. Nobody told me about Jesus. Secondly, how about Satan's control over somebody who is lost? Satan's control. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And that's what Satan does. He's looking for anybody that is not paying attention and walking with God so that he can devour them, destroy them, ruin them. That's Satan. He's evil, he's wicked, he's mad, he's angry, he hates God. It's probably just because God knows he's going to cast him in the lake of fire one day. I'd be pretty upset too. I'm no longer scared of Satan. I used to study all about Satan and preach about Satan, and now I don't care about it. I'm not scared of him. I have Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I have the Word of God. We have no reason to fear Satan. He is defeated. He is lost. He will be doomed one day. And he's not going to like that I said that, but I don't care. But that's Satan, seeking whom he will devour. Acts 26:18, as Paul is preaching about, or giving his testimony actually before Agrippa, and he says this, he describes the Lord's calling on his life as an apostle, but he says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." So somebody who is lost is under the power of Satan, and they're blinded. Colossians 1:13 describes again our salvation, but it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So we were under the power of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, lowercase g, God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And so somebody who is lost is under the control of Satan. They're living in darkness. Satan has power and control over them. That was me before I was saved. And 2 Corinthians 4 there says that it lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine forth unto them, the gospel, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of the perfect Son of God for our sins is the only thing that can break through that darkness and get to us. How many of you believe that? You know what's crazy? For 21 years, nobody told me about Jesus. And yet we all believe that. And believe those verses, and believe that that's what the Word of God teaches. How about what the Bible says about hell and damnation? John 3:18, Jesus said this, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so that was me before I was saved. That was you before you were saved. I was condemned, already guilty, on my way to hell. Without Christ, already condemned. That's what Jesus said. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So before somebody is saved, somebody who is lost has God's wrath abiding on them. Their future is the wrath of God. And we know that because the Bible said, Jesus said that. Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Jesus said this, "But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And I've preached it. You've probably heard it preached. It makes for good preaching that nobody goes to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. They send themselves there by rejecting Jesus. I understand the principle, but I do want us to understand Jesus did say, "Fear him which has the power to cast both body and soul in hell." God will cast people in hell who reject Jesus Christ. But he does so much to get them saved. And it will be of their own free will, but I just want us to understand that. Matthew 13:50, Jesus preaching about the kingdom, but I believe he's talking about hell here, says, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, we know these ones, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The Bible describes hell as a terrible place, a place of torment, a place of fire, a place of darkness, a place where the worm dieth not. And those without Christ, says, will be cast into that place. There will be fire, there will be weeping, there will be crying, and there will be no more mercy and no more second chances. And what's crazy is that we believe that, and for 21 years, nobody told that guy right there about Jesus Christ. And yet, we believe that all those things are true. By the way, the title of the message this morning is "Nobody Ever Told Me About Jesus." Nobody tried to warn me. Nobody tried to say something. Nobody tried to say anything. Nobody said, "Hey, young man, I understand that you're ruining your life, but God has a greater purpose and a plan for your life, and He has created you for that according to Revelation 4:11. He's created all things for His pleasure. And so I'm made in the image of God. God has a purpose and a plan for my life." And nobody came along and tried to say that. Nobody said, "Hey, do you not understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and without Him, because of what you're doing, because of your sin, you are going to end up in hell, and in a place where you're in a gang, and I nearly died several times. I won't go into all those things, but if I would have died, you know where I would have gone? It wasn't heaven." How about secondly, what the Bible says about what happens when a person gets saved? This is the good stuff. What happens when a person gets saved? Well, firstly, you get eternal life. You get eternal life. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's pretty good. You get heaven instead of hell through Jesus Christ. How about when you get saved, you become a child of God? That's a good one. John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Romans 8:17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Because of our sonship in Jesus Christ with the Father, we have the blessings that God gives His children. Praise the Lord for that. Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." When you get saved, you become a child of God. I'm thankful that now I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I have His Word. I have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, my Heavenly Father. Praise God for that. Every morning I get to wake up and talk with Him. Every night before I go to sleep, I get to talk with Him. He cares for me. He provides for me. He leads me. He protects me. He empowers me. He's given me a plan and a purpose again for my life. How amazing to be a child of God. How about when you get saved, you get peace with God? Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 5:9, "Much more than being now justified by His blood," because He died for us, "we shall be saved from wrath through Him." And so when somebody accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're saved from wrath. They have peace with God. They are justified. They are made righteous in God's sight by the blood of Jesus Christ. When I got saved, I was glad to have peace with God. I didn't even know that I didn't have that before I got saved. After I got saved, I realized, I'm like, wow, this is great. I don't have to worry about anything. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen now? You know, you probably heard it said, but what's the worst that can happen now? I'm going to die and go to heaven? Ooh, that's terrible. I don't want to today and leave my wife and kids behind, but hey, if the Lord decides, I'm going to be just fine. And so we know that what the Bible says about all that. But again, for 21 years, nobody told me about Jesus. And I'll tell you this story here, and I'll kind of bring some of it in for us. After I got saved, so I met the man who would end up leading me to Christ. He was a pastor. I met him in a drug rehab. And it was my second time in that drug rehab. It's in Frazeesburg, Ohio. I can tell you these details because you might know. It's called The Landing at Cedar Ridge. It is a secular program. It is not a faith-based program. How he got in there to come in every week and hold a Bible study. It actually really wasn't a Bible study. What he would do is he would put his chair in the room. We had a big wraparound couch. At that time, there were guys and girls, so there's like 60 of us in there. And he would just sit right in the middle, and he would open it up for an hour. Any questions you have at all about life, religion, spirituality, Jesus, God, the Bible, anything. And he would just try to answer it from the Bible and then tie it in with the gospel. And so that's where I would meet him. And the long and short of it is I'd graduate the program. I wasn't saved at the time yet. But again, I was responding to what God was showing me. I was reading the Bible and praying every day, and it was working for me. That's how I could put it. I mean, I could say it this way jokingly, but it's kind of sad, but I was doing more than most Christians before I was even saved. I was reading the Bible and praying every day. And so when I finished the drug rehab program, at that point, I did realize at that point, I had come to the place in my life where I realized I had wasted my life for 21 years. I have nothing to show for it. I left rehab with only the clothes I could fit in their little dresser that they had, pack of cigarettes, didn't have a phone, didn't have a car, so didn't really have anything, was living with my parents, had nothing to show for 21 years of life. No money, no job, but reading the Bible and praying was working. And I had heard about this church right outside of Zanesville, and since some of you are from around here, you've probably seen it. It's on, 40 would be, was it West 40 coming this way? Between West 40 and 70, it's Rushing Wind Biker Church. Okay? And you ever heard of that church? All right, now I'm an independent Baptist preacher, so I can tell you a little bit about Rushing Wind Biker Church. That I didn't know at the time. But what I had heard about it was that these were guys that were bikers. Some of them were former gang members. Some of them were former drug addicts and things. And so when I was in rehab, I thought, these are my people, right? I want to go there. I want to be with people that know me and understand me, okay? Well, when I first walked in, they have a dry bar, or did at the time, 8 years ago, had a dry bar, which is a bar that looks like a bar, but it's non-alcoholic. And they had a pool table, and they had a jukebox. And I walked in, and I said, and now I didn't know anything about church. I felt like if you went to church, you were supposed to dress up. I don't know. You don't have to if you're just coming to church, you don't have to dress up. But I just thought, so I just had khakis and a polo, you know. And went in there, and I was like, wow, this looks like a bar. And I was like, this is what I'm trying to get away from. So I went back behind the curtain into the sanctuary, and Brother Steve got up there and preached. And I'm a Bible preacher now, so I can tell you it was not a good message. Not that this is any better, but it just wasn't good. And again, I'm not against how people dress, okay? Except for what the Bible says in modesty, right? And so I'm not harping on dress, but the pastor of the church got up there, and he had jeans on and his chain wallet and cut off tattoos, and don't worry. You have tattoos again. I'm not against you. My wife has tattoos. Okay, from before she got saved. But anyway, I thought this is what I'm trying to get away from. Okay. And I said all that to say this. When I went there, I went with
down to church. Well, my dad walked in, and if some of you might even know my dad, has this microphone been hanging for this long? Nobody said anything? That's crazy. Okay, yep. Yeah, Mark chapter 16. But my dad, he was kind of well known in Zanesville. He was a hairstylist of all things, I know. You can laugh at me later. My dad was a professional hairstylist, mostly women's hair. Again, you may know who he is. His name is Kelly Ray. And he owned Kelly Ray's Salon Oasis, Kelly Ray's Ace of Cuts. He owned LA Haircutters in Zanesville, Ohio. He owned several different hair salons at one time. So when he walked in, he knew all kinds of people. And I mean, my dad was the type of guy, I remember, we went to Walmart. We couldn't make it 10 steps in Walmart, and we're talking for 15 minutes. I mean, you would have thought he was a preacher or something. But he knew these people that were there. And one guy, I remember specifically, he had tinted all of my mom's windows. Every time she got a car, he tinted the windows. He had his tinting business. And it was cool because, you know, at that time I was kind of seeking God and they were there. And I was like, oh man, you guys are Christians. I didn't know that. That's crazy. And I'll tell you another story. So I got saved eventually. Okay, I lied to my pastor. He asked me if I was saved. I told him yes. He scheduled my baptism for the next week. And driving home that night, I realized I wasn't saved. And so I just prayed out loud and I said, God, I know I'm not saved, but I believe Jesus died for me. Will you save me? And that was it. So it worked out because I still got baptized the next week. Amen. I didn't tell him that for 2 more years. Can you believe that? Anyway, so I went off to Bible college. And, you know, colleges, Bible colleges, just like regular colleges, secular colleges, have spring break, winter break. And so one time I came back on a winter break. This was my third year of college before I was graduating, I think. And my dad, he wanted to get right with God. And so I said, well, we need to get you into a church. The best church I could find in Zanesville within the city limits where he lived was a church, Westwood Baptist Church in Zanesville, Ohio. And it is still a BBF church, and they use different versions, and Bible versions, and they have contemporary music and all that. But they preach the gospel, and it was the best I could find for him. So we went there. And I went in, and now, at this time, I'd been saved for 3 years. I was in Bible college. I'd already took some missions trips and all that. You know, so I was like super Christian, right? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I went. I knew some stuff by then, basically. And I was maturing as a believer. But I walked in there, and I'm meeting people from my life. It's a pretty big church. I mean, there's several hundred people in there. I'm meeting people that I've known my whole life. The guy I used to work with, several guys I used to work with, a guy that was actually the chef or the cook of the drug rehab I was in twice, goes to that church. He was the drummer for the band, for the praise band. And that church preaches the gospel, by the way. They're not our stripe of independent Baptists, but they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so these are people that are professing, alleging, assuming they are saved. They believe they are followers of Jesus Christ. They're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I went in there, you know, I'm meeting people. I'm like, yeah, I got saved. I'm in Bible college, yada, yada. At that time, I might have surrendered already to my life to pursue missions, specifically with Muslim people at that time. So I'm meeting people, and they're congratulating me. And it was really great because I'm seeing all these people, and they knew me when I was on drugs. And I'm like, oh, I'm saved. I'm in Bible college. I'm a preacher. They're like, yeah, that's great. Awesome. Woohoo. And it was a really good time. And it took me a while after that, but then I realized, wait a minute. I worked with that guy for a year. Saw him every day. This chef or cook at our rehab that I had already spent at that time 8 months in, he was saved. This other guy that my dad used to shoot archery with, my dad was also a professional archer. I know he's a jack of all trades, but he used to shoot archery with this guy, and he's a Christian. And why is it that for 21 years nobody told me about Jesus Christ? I mean, I saw these guys all the time. I knew them. They knew me. They knew my family. As to my knowledge, they didn't witness to my parents. Didn't invite our parents to church. They were at our homes, in our home, eating dinner with us. Never talked about Jesus. That's not good. How about thirdly, what the Bible says about after a person gets saved? After a person gets saved. John chapter 3, Jesus speaking with Nicodemus describes being born again. He says you must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Born again, reborn, or a new birth, a new life. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You get a new life, you get a new walk. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so that's what happened to me after I got saved. It was instant. The night I got saved, I never went back to the ghetto of Zanesville. I never went over on Pine Street, never went over on Ohio Avenue again. I stayed away from that. I stayed away from the hood. I stayed away from the gang. I didn't talk with anybody. If they weren't saved and off drugs, I wouldn't talk with them. That was blocking them. You can't text me. You can't call me. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to see you. I went off to Bible college. I started learning, started growing. And the Lord, I would just tell you, He's allowed me to do lots of things. I'll give you some of those. I don't want you thinking bragging on me, but I got to serve on staff at a larger, at the time, church in Massillon, Ohio, Massillon Baptist Temple. I ran the bus ministry. We got to see dozens and dozens of kids saved. We got to see lots of adults saved through our soul winning ministry. I was the principal of the Christian school. I got to teach the next generation of Christians at the time. I was a gym teacher at first. That was a good time. But then I was a Bible teacher for 2 years. Taught Bible to 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade young Christian people. Got to go over to the country of Armenia on the border of Iran, and we brought groups of people across the border and taught them. We evangelized Muslim people, but then trained and taught underground pastors, men who pastored house churches secretly in Iran because they didn't have Bible college training. That was a great time. God's given me a wife. God's given me 2 daughters. It's Kelsey's birthday today, so if you see her, wish her happy birthday. We're trying to teach her to say thank you. Wouldn't you say that? But she'll tell you it's her birthday if I don't, so just a heads up. And I love it. We have a ministry. We have a calling in our life to reach Muslim people with the gospel, to see a church that doesn't exist yet. In Hamtramck, Michigan. No Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church there. We believe the Lord wants to build one there. All of that the Lord has done. That is what can happen when a person gets saved and born again. So why didn't anybody ever tell me? And this is the challenge for us this morning. Why didn't anybody ever tell me? Maybe they were too scared. I don't know. Look at this guy. Does he look that scary? He's only 140 pounds, okay? And yeah, I used to dress like a gang member and, you know, walk around with guns openly. But I wasn't that scary. If it was me now, I wouldn't be scared of this guy. Maybe they were too embarrassed. They didn't want to tell me because of what I would think about them. Boy, if I've forgiven those people, and I love them in Christ, and if they're saved, I'll see them in heaven, but boy, if they knew what I thought of them now, right? They could have saved my life sooner. They could have preserved more Christian life for me. I put it that way. And of course, they don't save. Jesus does, but you understand. Or maybe they just didn't care. Maybe they saw me and thought that he's ruined his life. He's too far gone. He's just like his dad. And so there's nothing we can do for them. Maybe they just didn't care. And many of us have heard, as I mentioned, almost all of those verses that I gave you. And we know what all the Bible says about that. And I wonder, if it were you, would you have told me about Jesus? Or would I be in hell today and not preaching for you? Well, look at your life now. Do you tell people about Jesus now? That'll probably tell you the answer. And so I hope that that's something for us to think about this morning. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I thank you for how good you've been to me in changing my life, everything you've given us and our family. And Lord, I pray that nobody was hurt by this morning. But Lord, may you open our eyes to see the world around us. Your word tells us what you can do if we would just be bold enough to share the gospel. Help us too, we ask, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?